Yeah, good morning, everybody. Thank you very much. And, well, honestly, there's not so much to add, so allow me to be a bit more in detail on trans issues, which already have been highlighted as, like, the key issues, I think, which have, like, come up in the last 5 years. I think that is a great success, and I would like the opportunity again, like, to thank the Parliament and particularly the Intergroup for having been a steady ally and a great supporter for trans rights, and who are very much responsible for such a big success. However, like recognizing the urgency and the importance of the issues like that trans people are facing, I think that like, a lot more needs to be done to tackle the issues that we actually have at hand, and allow me to briefly remind us of what we are running up against. We see that trans people are disproportionately affected by unemployment, and that many suffer from very negative attitudes and discriminations, like in all areas of life, in shops, in public, or in private. On the one hand, we see that trans people are protected under EU law, but only 16 EU member states have actually explicit protection in their laws. And for protection against discrimination, access in goods and services, it's even more complicated, where only 9 countries offer legal protections. So what we see is that many trans people are actually barred from accessing basic fundamental rights, and they cannot enjoy their EU freedoms, like to just travel, to move around, to study, or to reside in another member state, because they can simply not obtain the recognition of their gender identity. So they would have to travel around with a passport, with an ID card, which is not reflecting who they are and who they live with. Their documents, their education certificates would not show the name under which they live, and make it impossible to find employment or to be recognized and respected as a neighbor or as a tenant. And when we talk about those procedures who could allow a trans person to have their gender identity recognized, we still see that 13 member states of the European Union require by law a trans person to be sterilized first. We're having 10 member states that rather want to see a family to go through a divorce before allowing the transgender spouse to actually have their ID documents changed. On top of that, trans identities are still considered mental illnesses, and they are still in the international classification of diseases. And that is worldwide, and that is also still the fact in the EU. And all of this leads to, or you can say it's also a cause for all of this, that nearly every visible trans person actually experiences harassment, abuse, and violence in public as in private. The Fundamental Rights LGBT survey found that trans people are more likely to become victim of repeated violence, and they run a much higher risk in this category in comparison to any other group in society. Again, Evelyn has pointed it out, there is very weak protection yet on EU level. Only 9 countries protect trans people against this kind of violence. So, I'm sorry, I didn't want to kind of like tone down like too much like the positive note of this event, so maybe let's look more into the future, so what needs to be done. As Evelyn already has pointed out, we really need coordinated and comprehensive action to tackle this convoluted of issues we're running up against. And we definitely want to see the EU to take a very positive and a strong political leadership role. It's not enough like to just hush-hush something behind closed doors. But we want the EU to speak out publicly and loud and clear against those ugly heads of homophobia and transphobia that we see rising right now. And they also should not weigh of the arguments that's disguised as protecting traditional religious, cultural, or other family values. When it comes to the concrete issues that we would like to be addressed, we see that discrimination on grounds of gender identity and expression happens in all areas of life, so the political response must be a comprehensive one. So explicit protection must be included in anti-discrimination directives, particularly but not limited to the areas of employment and goods and services. But this has to be followed up by concrete measures, and also resources need to be employed. One thing is that we think is a very good way forward is that community resources are available through the European Social Fund, which I think is a great tool for member states to support their own actions, but also their civil society to be more trans-inclusive and to improve the right situation for trans people. But also when it comes to policies, we want to see that the EU strategy on equality between women and men much more comprehensively takes into account trans issues. Another broad EU legal framework is needed to actually address the hate crime and hate speech that trans people are facing. And it's not enough only to adopt directives, but we need the thorough monitoring of the implementation of how the Victims' Rights Directive and the asylum legislation is actually implemented in the member states. Because in the end of the day, it has to benefit trans people. It has to affect real change. And I know it is a difficult topic, but nonetheless, we want the EU also to recognize its competences in the area of legal gender recognition. And we also want them to take leadership on this. 15 EU member states are currently reviewing the procedures or already have changed them. So that is a great number. And we think that the EU can really boost these developments by providing member states the space and the possibility to coordinate and exchange best practice in this area. There's a lot happening. And if the EU is to recognize that without quick, accessible and transparent gender recognition procedures, trans people will remain structurally discriminated and they will remain second-class citizens. And it's not necessary to have gender identity like written down in a treaty to take action on such an area and such a topic. We want to commend the EU Commission for its initiative to depathologize transgender identities on the global level. And let's not forget that this only happened after the EU Parliament called for it loud and clear. This should be continued, but also within Europe we want to see change. We want to see that the EU helps us in developing practical solutions that ensure access to general and to trans-specific healthcare for trans people without having to undergo degrading psychiatric testing and without having to obtain a stigmatizing mental health diagnosis. And if you allow me like a last point to make, last but not least, we want to see that the EU wholeheartedly finally takes action to join the European Convention on Human Rights as well as the Istanbul Convention. That is so far what I have brought today. I'm happy to receive your questions afterwards.